As a sheep, would you just take your Bible and open it up, please? Turn to that scripture. Just open it up to that scripture. Just open it up. Have all of you opened your Bibles? If you would look carefully in the left-hand paragraph of where you've opened your Bible, you will find the word if. If you're on the right page. Just look, and the chances are you will find the word if. Have you found an if? Look at all the heads nodding. Look at the ifs. If you haven't found an if, well, close your Bible and try it again. And it will work then, I know. I did it 6 times. I got 5 out of 6. Ifs. Now, I certainly have not spent my time counting the ifs in all the Bible, but there are those who have, and there are 1,523 of those ifs in the Bible. 5 of those ifs are our discussion this morning, and it's a discussion between you and God privately as your pastor lead you as a sheep to the water of life here, Jesus. Because on 5 occasions, Satan came with his ifs. Not his imps. He's got those too. But he came with his ifs. He came with his ifs. He came directly to Jesus. And he said, if. Came up to him and he said, if. You know what the word if means? Well, if, according to Webster, means in case that, or granting, or allowing, or supposing that. The first and the second time that Jesus had hurled at him the ifs was at the temptation. The third, the fourth, and the fifth time he had hurled at him the ifs was when he was on the cross. Now, in case one and in case two, it was Satan himself who came up and said, if. In case 3, 4, and 5, it came through a person. In other words, Satan entered the heart of that person, and the person said, if, Jesus. Do you believe that Satan can enter into people? He sure can. And do you believe that you can be the instrument of Satan? You sure can be, and we'll see today from the scripture, although we have seen already this morning, Satan working through people. I mean, just living in the world, we find this true. All of these ifs challenge the divinity of Jesus. If thou be the Son of God. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, or you may even find this in the back of your bulletin today, you will find the first if. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. It's on page 4 in the back part of your pew Bible in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Then the devil, then Satan, took Jesus and he spoke to Jesus a lot of special words. Verse 3 is the one we will read first. Then the devil came to Jesus and said, what did he first say? Say it. If. He shot this if at Jesus. It was just like standing before him with a gun and he said, you're Jesus. Okay. He cocks the gun. If you are the Son of God, then do what? Say it. Oh, how clever he was. Had the doubt begun? Just before this temptation, Jesus had been baptized. And when he was baptized, the scripture says that the heavens opened and the Spirit of God fell upon him like a dove and said, you are my son. You are my son. And now the devil comes and cocks his question at him. If you are the son, then make these stones into bread. You know, Satan was attacking something very special to us all today, and that is hunger. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. 40 days had he not eaten. And he was hungry. You know, just because he was the Son of God doesn't mean that he didn't cry and he didn't have hunger pains and he wasn't thirsty and he didn't get tired from his travels and didn't get angry. You know, he had all the human emotions that we have as humans. And so he was hungry. And these little stones that lay around the ground looked like small loaves of bread made in Palestine. In fact, it was so clever on Satan's part. He said, Jesus, you're hungry now. He says, well, I tell you what, you're hungry, you're all alone. You've just declared, it's been declared to you that you are the Son of God. Well, make the stones bread. You know, a simple thing. But there was no temptation that would take Jesus at this point, like we today. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am not going to forsake a cross for a bake shop. I'm not going to forsake that cross, Satan. So Satan hit him with the first if. If you are the Son of God, make the stones bread. The second if is in verse 6. In verse 5 says, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the high city, set him on the highest point of the temple, and said to him, what? Say, if. He shot again. If you are God's Son, then just throw yourself down, for the Scripture says, you know, Satan's no dummy. He knows the Scripture. He's memorized the Scripture. He's got more intellectual power than we have put together. He's smart. He's strong. Next to Almighty God, just a hair below, but believe me, below is Satan and his power. So Satan quoted the Scripture to Jesus. God will give orders to his angels about you. They will hold you up with their hands so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones. Satan says, jump, Jesus. And as you fall, the heavenly parachute will come down and the angels will grab you and you just don't have to worry about falling because as you fall, you will just land gently on the stones. If you are the Son of God, do that. Now here, the pinnacle of the temple, that high point where below thousands of people could be standing and watching. What a beautiful time for Jesus to show the world who he was. But Jesus said again to him what he had said when he was asked the first if. In answer to the first if, Jesus said in verse 4, the Scripture says, you know, here we have a wilderness debate. Both of them debating, both of them using Scripture. Jesus said that the Scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that God speaks. As you look on the bulletin cover, you see all those beautiful loaves of bread that satisfy our hunger. It would be better for us to starve to death if in doing that, we could partake of the spiritual bread, which Jesus said he was. The second cocked if, Jesus reported, verse 7, but the Scripture also says, Mr. Satan, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, Jesus had this temptation. He could have availed himself of his power. You know, it would be so easy to say, here's a stone, poof, bread, open, eat, satisfy hunger. He could have done it. It would have been so easy for Jesus to ascend to the top of the pinnacle and get everybody's attention. Hey, back there, do you see me? You down here, do you see me? Watch. And jump. And not even hurt his foot. You see, he was God's Son. He was God's Son. What better way to demonstrate I'm the Messiah? But it just wasn't the way. Satan and his ifs. If you're the Son of God, make the bread. If you're the Son of God, then jump. Well, a few years go by. At the crucifixion, we find in Matthew chapter 27, we find again these ifs being hurled at Jesus. Not through Jesus himself, not through Satan himself, but through the various people. In Matthew 27:40 and in Luke 23, 37 and in Luke 23, 39, the other three ifs. And they again go right back to if you are the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, then do these three things. He was on the cross, and first the scoffers came, and the scoffers said, if you are the Son of God, come down. You know, those passerbyers. The cross was near the public roadway, and people on their business trips were going to their place of business. But they would stop and look at the morbid scene, and they would stop to see what was going on, the bloodthirsty people, and just to cheer. Business and pleasure, yes, they were important. God didn't matter. So they paused for a moment. They had their fun. And they said, another fool being crucified. But some of the passerbyers, the scoffers, said, if you are the Son of God, come down. When he was on the cross, one of the thieves turned to him and said, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. Just save yourself. And us too. It was the cry of the thief. And the third group, made up of soldiers, they say in Luke 23, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. So we have three groups of people that are hurling the darts of ifs. We have, first of all, the scoffers, we have the soldiers, and we have the thieves. And I am looking at three groups of people right now. For we make up these three people. We make up the passerbyers, we make up the soldiers, we make up the thieves. And we are saying the same thing today, inasmuch. Well, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then answer my prayers. If you are the Son of God, then do these things. If you are the Son of God, then let me see the miracles. If you are the Son of God, then let me right now see a manifestation of that. So we must not condemn the scoffers, nor must we condemn the soldiers, nor condemn the thieves, because we today are in the same boat. Our cry is the same. I'll not believe until something happens. Haven't we all said that? I won't believe. Seeing's believing, Jesus. And Jesus said to the people who said the very same thing, you wouldn't believe, he said, if you saw the miracle. Seeing is not believing, Jesus said. You know, on the other side of the coin, there is the satanic ifs that come toward you. Are you not the Son of God, too? If you are a Christian, you are the Son of God. So let's, without violating anything, just step back for a moment and let the ifs come toward us as they do. If you are the Son of God, then why did that happen to you last week? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? If you are the Son of God, which we are by faith in Jesus, you see, when the attack comes to us, we are prone to jump. We are prone to do what Satan told Jesus to do, what the soldiers said to do, what the thief said to do, and what the passerbyers said to do. Jesus didn't do it. So people want proof today of you who are the Son of God. And how we react, not only in our unbelief, is very important. How we react to slander, whether we accept it or where we grumble. How we react to things that occur to us through people is very important. Why you suffer right now is important. Because someone may say to you, if you're the Son of God, why are you suffering? You know, why is this happening to you? And yet we must say in our mind with God, Lord, our heart is right. We would not remove ourselves from the situation at all. For in removing ourselves from the situation, we lose a blessing. We lose a relationship. goes back to unbelief. So we have our ifs that are shot toward us. Of all the other ifs in the Bible, I must give you, since I've given you five of Satan's, I must give you five of Jesus's ifs. Don't turn, but just listen to these scriptures. He's got his ifs too, that is Jesus. And some are from the lips of Jesus, some are from the lips of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and some are from John, again inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the first if that you must take, and you must dialogue this with God right now, is found in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 34, and it reads like this. So Jesus said to those who believed in him, he's talking to you now. So Jesus says to Neil, Jesus says to you, insert your name, if you, your name, obey my teaching, you are really my disciples, and that you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The first if of the Holy Spirit to you today is this. If you continue in my word, it equates to disciple, to a disciple. The other if is found in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23. It's an important if, and it reads like this. You must, you with your name, you must continue faithful on a firm and sure foundation. You must not allow yourself to be shaken from the hope you gained when you heard the gospel. It is of this gospel that I, Paul, became a servant. This gospel, which has been preached to everybody in all the world. And he says in the King James translation, if you then continue faithful on a firm foundation, if you continue in your faith, then God will make known, in verse 27, the riches of his glory to you. It's a personal if. The third if that comes from the Holy Spirit is in John chapter 15, verse 6, that says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask anything you wish and you will have it. You abide in me, you'll ask, you can receive. The fourth if is in Romans 8, verse 12, which says, so then, my brothers, we have an obligation not to live as our human nature wants us to live. If we live by the flesh, we shall die. And the last if is in 1 John 1, 7, which reads like this, beginning with verse 6. If then we say that we have fellowship with Jesus, yet at the same time we live in darkness. We are lying both in our words and in our actions. But if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from every sin. And there's another if. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So these are some personal ifs that come from the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, it equals being a disciple. Paul says, if you continue in the faith, God will make known his riches to you. Paul again says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. John says, if you abide in me, you can ask what you want. And then John again says, if we live in the light, then the blood of Jesus is going to cleanse us from all of our sin. You know, I don't like these ifs that were thrown at Jesus, nor do I like the ifs that are thrown to me. If you are the Son of God, then do this and do that. But what I do like are these ifs that Jesus gives me. He's just saying to me as a sheep, and to you as a sheep, he puts his arm around you and he says, you know what if means? In case that, granting or allowing, supposing that. So Jesus says, hey, come here to me, little sheep. Come here. He says, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple. It's just like giving you something, and he says, if you take it and partake of it, then you're blessed by it. But you know, it never happens until we reach out for what is the if, whatever it is. Maybe that is why in Deuteronomy it says in chapter 4, verse 29, therefore, if you look for the Lord, and if you search for him with all of your heart, you'll find him. Praise God, it's an if for you. It's your personal if for this afternoon and for tonight. In fact, even for right now. It says here, if you search for God, you'll find him. And you know, we don't have to go very far because this is his house. And that's why we sing this concluding hymn, number 319. It's a hymn of commitment. Lord, draw me nearer to you. I accept the ifs that you have for me. If you don't accept his ifs, you're a loser. If you accept them, you're a winner. He gives you a gold medal. He says, you won, you won, you won. So Paul says, we run toward the race, in the race, toward Jesus. We're going to sing, draw me nearer, Jesus. You can picture the cross here before you and where you are in the sanctuary. And figuratively speaking, it's the race that you're on. If you'll run, getting nearer and nearer, he says, I'm going to let you find me. As a matter of fact, when you take the first step in the race, he takes his step toward you, and he's got the medal for you in terms of the scripture. He says, I'll give you the wreath. I'll give you your medal. Let's stand and sing, may we, 319.
place with the Lord, where are you in relationship to that cross? You know, what progress have you made? What laps have you scored? Before we sing this last stanza, I must personally, on behalf of Jesus, invite you to get nearer, Christian. Get nearer, Christian friend. And this may be for some of you to unite with the local church, maybe for some of you to be baptized. For you who are not Christian, it is an invitation just to accept Jesus as your personal Savior and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I'll accept what you did for me. So as we sing this last stanza, I would like to ask if you step out and come forward and say, Pastor, I want to unite with this church. Or say, Pastor, I want to become a Christian. Or say, Pastor, I want to dedicate my life. Or Pastor, I want to be baptized. You know, there's so many things that we can say as we draw nearer to Him. You know, this is the name of the game, getting closer to Jesus. With all the pull of the world, we got that pull of Jesus. Let's just release the world and be brought closer to Him as we sing this last stanza.